God's will for everyone is that they come to salvation. Amen? And then after salvation, what's God's will for everyone?
Pass on the good word.
Sanctification, which means becoming more Christ-like every day, right? So that takes change, right? So from the moment that we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, God is trying to affect change in our life. Y'all agree? God wants us to change. What's God's problem? We're the problem. How many of you want to change, want to be what God wants you to be? How many of you find that easy to do? Okay, so God wants change. We want to change. There must be a problem. Must be something that we need to understand, right? So, Galatians 5:1 says, Christ has truly set us free. Christ has set us free. From what?
The penalty of sin.
What else?
Bondage.
Guilt. You could just about name anything you want to name there, Ron. We have been set free.
Yep.
Period. We have been set free. If you were in prison and they gave you a pardon and opened a door, who's it up to walk through it? It's up to us. You could be set free and spend the rest of your life in prison if you wanted to, right? Now, make sure that you stay free. That is the key, right? You've been set free. Make sure you stay free. And don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Don't get tied up again in slavery. Make sure you stay free. So we have a part in this, right? Is that an admonition to us? Make sure you stay free. Is that something we're supposed to have an effort in or a part in? Yes. So to do that, we need peace with God. Right? Everybody agree? We need peace with God. We need peace with ourselves. Y'all agree with that? You have to be at peace with yourself. And you need peace in our relationship with others. Right? Peace with God, peace with yourself, peace in your relationship with others. Okay? Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we get peace with God. It's through salvation, through Jesus Christ, through the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross, his burial, his resurrection. The Bible says if we believe he died for our sins, was buried and rose again, we will be saved. That gets you peace with God. We become reconciled to God. We have peace with God. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understandings, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's how you get peace with yourself. Is you get to the point where God's peace will guard your hearts and minds and the peace of God. So you can have peace with God and not necessarily have the peace of God. Right? So Christians can be at peace with God, but not at peace with themselves. Not okay with themselves, having to fight themselves. Would y'all agree? But when we get the peace of God, then we start to be okay with ourselves. Y'all are with me, right? What's the two greatest commandments? To love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. So we need peace with God. And to do what? Love your neighbor as yourself. So you need peace with yourself. You need to be okay with yourself, right? That's the peace of God. And peace with relationships. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. We need lasting change. Have y'all ever heard the expression that doing something's like rearranging the chairs on the Titanic? Have you ever heard anybody make that statement? What do you think they're getting at? If the Titanic was sinking, right? If you just rearrange the chairs on it, you may be active doing something, but what's it accomplish? Nothing. I think that's what happens with most of us in change, is we try to do it ourselves, and it's just like rearranging chairs on the Titanic. You're still sinking. Okay? So let's see why, what happens here. Okay. Last week we talked about Jesus' ascension back to the Father. I want to review that just a second, because that's why he ascended back to the Father, and him sending the Holy Spirit is what's going to make it possible for us to have lasting change. So let's review that for a second. After he said this, Jesus, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from their sight. Why leave? He said, Jesus said, if I don't go, the Holy Spirit won't come. Right? John 16:12, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. So before the Holy Spirit was here, Jesus tried to teach them, but they just couldn't get it all. Right? John 16:13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. He will tell you what is to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. And all that belongs to the Father is mine. That's what the Spirit will receive from me, and he will make known to you. That's what the Holy Spirit would do when he comes. Okay, Galatians 5:1 said, we've been set free. Stay free, right? Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Where's the Holy? If we have peace with God, that means we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. When that happened, the Holy Spirit came and indwelled you and placed you into the body of Christ. Now that we have the Holy Spirit in our life, we can then have the fruit of the Spirit. True? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you have evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in your life, you will have the peace of God. You will be at peace with yourself, and you will have good relationships. Would you all agree? If your spouse is loving, joyful, peaceful, forbearing, kind, good, faithful, gentle, and has self-control, wouldn't you be okay with him?
Yeah.
So is that not what brings, is that not what it would take to bring lasting change? Okay, a little bit far with me. So Jesus could do his intercessory work as an advocate and father. He said, first of all, I'm going to send the Spirit to you. Next, I'm going to be an intercessor, an advocate for you with the Father. Okay, Hebrews 4:14, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things like we are, yet without sin. So he understands us, right? And he's there interceding for us. And because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely. Save you how much? Completely. What would that be? Body, soul, and spirit? right? He's able to save you completely through, he's able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to what? Intercede for us. Such a high priest truly meets our need. What need? What need? The need to be at peace with God and the peace of God and to have a relationship with everybody else. He truly meets our need, right? One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. That's Jesus, okay? Now, Jesus came and lived our life. He died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again. He ascended back to the Father. He sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in us. The Holy Spirit can produce fruit in us. And Jesus is there interceding for us so that we can have all of this. True?
We got it made.
Huh? We got it made. I mean, what more do you want? Right? So none of us should have any trouble whatsoever.
Shouldn't have.
We should not have any trouble whatsoever. We should just be perfect. Y'all should just be perfect. I'll change that from we to y'all. Y'all, we should be, right? We should be. Now, those who belong to Jesus Christ, this is in Galatians 5 also. I didn't put the verse up there. Have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Do y'all see a hint of a problem? What's the hint of the problem? The flesh. The flesh has what? Passions and desires. The flesh has passions and desires. What are passions and desires? The things the flesh... What did the Holy Spirit want to produce in us? Love, joy, peace, all that kind of stuff. But the flesh has something it wants to produce in us. Right? Which one do we... Never mind that. I'll come back. The catalog of vices and virtues in verses 19 through 21 and 22 and 23, that's the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. We'll get to those. Set the background for every Christian to come to two conclusions. We should come to these two conclusions. We should crucify the flesh. So let's go get a cross and let's nail y'all up on it. Is that what he's talking about? We should crucify the flesh and we should surrender to the Spirit. Crucify the flesh, surrender to the Spirit. Crucify, surrender. You think that order is important? Because you couldn't do the surrender if you don't crucify first. Okay? Now look. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. That's what verse 25 says. Those who belong to Christ... Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh. They have. So why are y'all still in it?
They have. That's when they came to salvation, but they didn't survive the rest of the way.
That's exactly right. When we came to salvation, we died. But unfortunately, somebody resuscitated us. You know who that was? You. Okay. Y'all are with me. You're with me so far, right? Just clear as mud so far, right? So listen to this. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I told you before, anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those are the chairs on the Titanic. This is how we normally change. Okay, so Lexi is, pick out one of those. Hostile. Lexi, very hostile. So, is Melissa in here? I was going to find one of your buddies. So, we decided to have an intervention because you're just too hostile. So, we're going to do away with you being so hostile. So, we work on her being hostile. You know what she's going to do? She will just move it over to something else. Do you know that? That's what we do. If I have a trouble with drinking and I manage to quit drinking, I'll just go over to something else. Because that is the result. Result means what? Huh? Say it again. The end or the result of, the reason for. So the result, those things are the result of living in the flesh. What do you have to do to the flesh? Crucify it. What do you need to do then? Surrender. So I can't take care of those one at a time. I can't do it. You can't do it. Nobody can do it. When people come to counseling, they want to stop one or two of those. They want to take care of anger. Is there anger up there? Anger or jealousy or something like that. They say, I need anger management. No, they need to die. Right? They say, I throw wild parties. I need to quit throwing wild parties. No, you need to die. You need to get deader, not better. That's trying to get better. What will happen if you just try to get better? What will happen, Isis? It'll just go to something else because those are the results of the flesh. You'll just be hostile and just, or you'll be selfish. So what good does it do to rearrange those?
You're still sinking.
Okay, go with me. That's the word combined with another word that's translated works or desires in that verse in Galatians 5. The first word is the more comprehensive term. It includes all manner of lust and desires. Okay? The second word denotes suffering. So they combine the two words. When you live with all those types of lust and desires, it's going to cause what? Suffering. Suffering for who? Huh? For you and everybody around you. What happens if you do all those other things? You're going to face consequences for doing them? Yes, and what happens to the relationship you have with people you have around you? Same thing. So the sufferings are those produced by yielding to the flesh. Now I want you to look at the word yielding. So we're supposed to crucify the flesh and yield or surrender to the spirit. But when we yield to the flesh, and how easy and natural is that? How easy and natural is that? Why is that so much easier than yielding to the spirit? Because we live in the flesh. Right? Have you ever, how many of you plant gardens? How many of you have weeds in your garden? How many of you chop out the weeds or spray the weeds and they just come back? Why do weeds just come coming back all the time? Huh? I can't hear you. The curse, yeah. But why do those seeds just keep coming back so easily when the things you plant don't do so well? You have to do all kinds of things to get the things you plant to do well.
We planted one seed and had a million weed seeds.
Yeah. It's natural to the soil. Right? It's natural to the soil. Those other things are natural to who you are because of the fall. They're natural. Okay? But we had to yield. We should not yield to the flesh. The word pathos. What do you think we get out of that? What word, English word, do you think comes from that?
Pathogen.
Huh?
Pathogen.
Or, huh?
Sympathy, empathy.
Pathology. That's where we get the word pathology. What is pathology? It's your past. It's your past experience. That's your pathology. Whatever your family of origin, whatever you've experienced, whatever you've let yourself be around, that's your pathology. Your pathology or the path, your pathos points more to the evil state from which the lust spring. So our pathology is evil. The pathology of the flesh is evil. From the pathology springs these evil things. However, all of the things that you have going on in the flesh, which includes the brain, the mind, the will, and emotions, that's your pathology. That's your path. From that, these evil things springs. From that, Satan works. From that, the world looks glittery, looks good, looks inviting, looks like fun, looks like something that you need to do. It comes from your pathos. So when you act the way you act and you look in the mirror and you can't stand yourself because of it, that's just coming from the pathology, from the pathos, and you have to die to that. You have to crucify that. That's pathetic. When you don't do that, when you repeat it over and over and over again, people look at you and say, you're pathetic. That's pretty good. But the Holy Spirit, now let's go back to this. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our life. Who produces that? The Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit does what? Produces. What does that mean? He's the source of it. He's the strength of it. He's the power of it. He's the origin of it. Let me tell you what he's saying. What he's saying that you can't do, Rachel.
No.
He's saying that's not naturally in you. You get that? But the Holy Spirit lives in you, and the Holy Spirit can produce that in you. Why can't the Holy Spirit do that all the time? Because we still feed the flesh. Because our pathology or our past keeps wanting to do those other things. Who's the strongest? Who wins? What determines who wins? Who we feed the most? Who we yield the most? Who we give in to the most? That's who wins. So you had to what? You had to die. Are y'all ready to die? You had to die. What happens if you don't die? You live like those other things. All your problems in life, all your heartaches, all the things that keep you bound, all the things that Christ set you free from, they're the result of those things. They're the result of living out your pathology. So look, fruit of the Spirit, your flesh, right? So your flesh, how old are you?
33.
You don't look a day over 32. Your flesh has had 33 years of help me, huh? Maturing, growing strong, doing what it wants to do, all those things. How long you been saved? 5 years. So for 5 years, she has accepted Christ. She's been yielding to the Spirit some, yielding to the flesh some. Would you agree? But you want, your desire is for your theology, your spirit, to overcome your pathology, isn't it? You want to do that, right? And that works pretty good until stress or trouble or really bad times comes. And what happens when those things come and we haven't crucified the flesh? What happens? Pathology overcomes theology every time. Because we live in this. You know what the key is? You make your pathology your theology. You crucify the flesh, live by the Spirit until your pathology is your theology. Then you can live like Belva.
That's why we're supposed to count it all joy.
You count it all joy when what happens?
When you start seeing He's producing in you the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah. Whenever troubles come, trials come, it's not a bad thing to be under attack. Right? Does it seem like a bad thing? But what's God trying to produce?
Fruit.
You know why He has to do it? Because we won't. We won't. Okay. Is that good stuff? Makena, you like that? Is that good stuff? So if I followed Beverly around, is that what I see? Tim, is that what I see? Tim says, you betcha. I'm not about to say anything different than that. So when you look in the mirror, is that what you see? Zach, is that what you see?
Not always.
you didn't completely die. No, you're right. You're exactly right. That's not always what we see, is it? And when we don't see that, what comes into our mind? I mean, when you're not able to be the spiritual person you want to be, what tends to come into your mind?
Doubt, regret.
Why can't I do this? Yeah, I mean, good grief, look at Rodney. He's been trying longer than I am, and I'm better than him. So So Satan will try to use that to get you to what?
Have a bad day.
Have a bad day, get discouraged, give up, don't try. Right? Are those things impossible? Are they impossible?
No.
Are they impossible for you? For you, they are, aren't they? Are they impossible for you?
No.
Without the fruit of the Spirit, are they impossible for you? Have you tried to do this on your own before?
Yes, it doesn't work.
Don't work. How long does it work if we make it work? 2 or 3 weeks? You know?
Huh?
Till the ship sinks. You know, somebody comes in the office for counseling and they say, he or she has told me they'll change, and they change for 2 or 3 weeks. And then they go right back the way they were. Of course they do. right back into the same pathology. Right? Look at this. This is where the word fruit comes from. Metaphorically, it's used of works or deeds, fruit being the visible expression of power working inwardly and invisibly. The character of the fruit being the evidence of the character of the power producing it. So who's producing the fruit? Holy Spirit. What's the character of the fruit? Just like what the Holy Spirit would be. The invisible power of the Holy Spirit in those who are brought into living union with Christ produces the fruit of the Spirit. The singular form, it doesn't say fruits. Y'all notice that, right? It says fruit. The singular form suggesting the unity of the character of the Lord as reproduced in them. So the fruit of the Spirit would be the character of Christ. Right? That would, if you just looked at Christ, the fruit of the Spirit would be how you would describe Him. True? The fruit of the Spirit can reproduce the character of Christ in you. So what's God's desire is that we be more Christ-like every day. Right? That's His desire. Okay. What is that? What is that? How many of y'all take tests? Examine yourself to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourself. Surely you know that Jesus Christ is among you. If not, you have failed the test of genuine faith. So how do you test yourself? Yeah, thump the fruit. You know how you tell whether watermelon's ripe or not? Right? Okay, now I want you to... Where am I at on time? The Spirit-filled life, verse 25. The Bible admonishes those who have been born again to new life in Christ to daily live in the power of Christ. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Walk means to live, right? We're a spiritual being, right? With God-given needs, right? We possess a soul, we live in a body. Remember that? That's an unsaved person. That person is separated from God, and they don't have peace with God. They don't have the peace of God, and they don't have the Holy Spirit, and they cannot produce the fruit of the Spirit. They may manifest some of the things because of their pathology, because they lived, but it won't last very long. It'll be like rearranging chairs on a Titanic, right? This person is saved, has the Spirit, but the bottom two is what the Bible's talking about, the flesh. When it talks about the flesh, the fruit of the flesh, the works of the flesh is the body and the soul. That's the flesh. The bottom part produces all that bad stuff. You're the heart. You possess a soul. You live in a body. You're a spiritual being. You. You're the heart. The heart crucifies the flesh and yields to the Spirit or don't. You. That's it. You do. Nobody can do it for you. You have to do it. That's the old person. Walk in the Spirit. That's what he said, right? Walk in the Spirit. Okay, let's a couple more verses in Galatians. I want y'all to really stay with me. Look at this. For you were called to freedom. Remember Galatians 5:1 said? You've been free, now stay that way, right? For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Okay, what's God want us to do with this crucifying the flesh and surrendering to the Spirit and walking in the Spirit? What does He want us to do? Serve one another. That was the third point, right, that we started out. So why do I want the fruits of the Spirit in my life? Huh?
So I can serve.
What did Christ come to do? To serve. Do I have freedom in Christ? Does it say I have freedom in Christ? Am I free in Christ? So what am I not to use that freedom for? To the flesh. In other words, because I'm saved, I can let the flesh do what it wants to do. But I'm not supposed to do that. I'm supposed to kill the flesh so that I can serve y'all. Right? Look at the next. For the whole law is fulfilled in one statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I can't love Makena if I don't love myself. And by loving myself, I don't mean wrapped up in myself and full of myself. I mean understand how God created me and know how much He loves me and how much He desires to have a relationship with me. I have to understand that first. If I understand that, then I can love her. If I loathe myself or hate myself or don't see myself as having worth or value, then I can't do that. I won't love her either. Is that not true? You have to do that first. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you're not consumed with one another. So can I pick on y'all? So here we have two people who are saved who desire to crucify the flesh, right? Who desire to yield to the Spirit, but you don't have to. You can stay in the flesh, but what will happen if you do, according to the last part? You bite, you kill off each other. You devour one another. How do you do that? How have you, as a married couple, how have y'all devoured one another in the past? Any of you? Put each other down, huh?
Fight.
You fight about what? Everything. Somebody said everything. Huh?
Money, jealousy.
Money, jealousy, time. You fight because your husband don't pay enough attention to you. You fight because he don't fulfill you. You feel bad for yourself because he don't make you feel valuable. We have all these fights because in the flesh, we try to achieve these things, and when we don't achieve them, we try to make somebody else be responsible for them.
But we're responsible for the happiness and...
We're responsible.
For ourselves.
But if you live in the flesh, then he's responsible.
You can make it that way.
And when you make it that way and he don't measure up, then he won't. Then what happens? Yeah, but in the flesh, mm-hmm. It's all his fault.
Yeah. It's always
yes.
Someone else's fault.
It's always somebody else's fault. In the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You're just in the flesh, you're just a sorry dude. All of us are, right?
Mm-hmm.
We can't do it. The things that we expect somebody else to do for us, we expect somebody else to make us feel like we're worthy. We expect somebody else to give us value. We expect somebody else to make us happy. How many times you heard somebody says, I think God just wants me to be happy? Have y'all ever heard that? Where does it say that? Can you all find a verse that says that? You know what I can find? God wants you dead. I can find that. And when you die to yourself and you live in a fruit of the Spirit that works out in you, you'll have love, joy, peace. Is that not better than happiness? You know what? You know where the word happy comes from? Happenstance, circumstance. That's not lasting. Look at this. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not. Isn't that neat? You will not carry out the desires of the flesh. So how you quit being so hostile to me?
Walk in the Spirit.
For the flesh, this is what I want y'all to get. The flesh sets its desires against the Spirit. Remember the triangle? That stuff down on the bottom sets its desires against what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit against the flesh, these are in opposition to one another so that you may not do the things that you... What? That you please. That you won't do the things that you please. As long as you're in this body, you're going to have what? A war. Conflict. So if Joe kills off the flesh today, you know what it tries to do tomorrow? Come back to life. If Joe and Isis get things worked out, they start producing the works of the Spirit. Pathology comes into play, and one of them remembers something the other one did 10 years ago, and they start making that one pay for it, and they don't know why they're doing it. So they think, well, if you can treat me like that, look what I got for you, bud. And then it comes around again. Can y'all all identify with that? That's what happens over and over and over. Listen, I got something I want to read y'all. This is from a book called Boundaries in Marriage. It's pretty good. Do y'all think that if you summed up the fruit of the Spirit, that you could come up with those three things? Do you think you could? I want you to think about it. Is anybody going in opposition to what I'm fixing today? So if you're living by the Spirit, if the fruit of the Spirit is working in you, listen to this. God created us free. True. He gave us responsibilities for our freedom. Responsibilities. And as responsible free agents, we're told to love Him and each other. Y'all agree? This emphasis runs throughout the whole Bible. When we do these three things, live free. What does it take to live free? Crucify the flesh. Surrender to the Spirit. Take responsibility for our own freedom. Take responsibility. That word don't get used much today. Take responsibility for our own freedom. What might that mean? Take responsibility for your own freedom.
Ownership.
Huh?
Ownership.
Ownership.
You accept the consequences.
You accept the consequences of what comes. It means somebody else don't have to be any particular way for you to live free. You're responsible to live free. No matter what anybody else does, you're responsible. Listen to this. And love, take responsibility for our own freedom and love God and each other. Then life, including marriage, can be an Eden experience, including marriage. Something incredible happens as these three ingredients of relationship work together. As love grows, spouses become more free from the things that enslave, like self-centeredness, sinful patterns, past hurts, self-imposed limitations. Then they gain a greater and greater sense of self-control and responsibility. And as they act more responsibly, they become more loving. Then the cycle begins all over again. As love grows, so does freedom, leading to more responsibility and more love. Is that not good stuff? I want to ask y'all a question. Who's responsible for these following things? Feelings. Who do we tend to make responsible? attitudes. You're hostile because
of you.
Because of me. Who's responsible for her attitude? Regardless of how I act.
Yes.
Behaviors. Choices. Limits. Desires. Thoughts. Values. Talents. Love. If you took responsibilities for those, you know, I think you could sum that up in the word peace.
Contentment.
I like contentment even better. So, y'all started picking on y'all and then got away. So if you're not content, it's his fault.
Usually, no.
But usually that's what we think, isn't it? We do. We just automatically go there, don't we? We automatically go there and look at this angelic face. There could be no way that was his fault, right? Who's responsible? We are. Who's responsible?
I am.
It's all right if you tell Sam. No. We're responsible. How's the only way you can do that? The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. Go get them. Let's stand and we'll receive our tithe and offering. Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we're so grateful for salvation in Jesus Christ. We are, sometimes we just take it for granted that we've been set free and we find ourselves back enslaved into things that we were freed from. Lord, we don't take responsibility for the things that's ours. We try to put it off on someone else and it just causes chaos and conflict in our relationships. But when we crucify the flesh and surrender to the Spirit, we have the opportunity to have the fruits of the Spirit manifest in our life, and we'd have peace with ourselves and with each other. We want to give you the glory for that and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.